are my friends. Nobody cares. Sirens and compass, filling the night. I'm sick of their pressure. I'm ready to fight. Trouble at the cup. Trouble at the cup. Trouble at the cup. My friends all are knives. They look real hard. I got a gun for an ID card. Better get ready, don't travel alone. Hollywood Boulevard's a military zone. LAPD, better get some tanks. We're gonna break your windows, we're gonna loot your banks. Trouble at the cup, trouble at the cup, trouble at the cup. I got no use for drugs, I never get high. I wanna shoot a cop, I wanna see him die. Riots in the 60s were a whole lot of fun, but a lot of these pigs forgot how to run. We won't take it anymore, it's 78. Time to get down, summer of hate. Trouble at the cup, trouble at the cup, trouble at the cup.
Welcome to Asheville Free Media, ashevillefm.org. You're listening to The Final Straw with your host, Burst of Goodness. The show is underwritten by the worker owners at Firestorm Books and Cafe, 48 Commerce Street, here in Asheville, North Carolina. The Final Straw is also available at KXCF, Marshall, California. And our guest for the evening, or for the afternoon, is Park.
Hello. Thank you for inviting me.
It's always my pleasure. We're going to talk a little bit about the history of the liberation movements, I guess the gay liberation movement, as much as that encompasses all sorts of other peoples besides people identifying as gay. And, yeah, and where we're at now.
That sounds good.
So we're having this conversation because tomorrow, Saturday, July 2nd, here in Asheville, there's going to be a march commemorating the Stonewall riots. Starting at 1 p.m. at the Vanson Monument, there's going to be a rally followed by a march leaving at 2 o'clock, and it'll eventually circle around and come back to the Vance Monument. At 4 o'clock, I think, there's going to be ice cream.
Ice cream!
And followed by a dance party at Hairspray at 10 p.m. So folks should try to make it out there if they're in town. If you have the opportunity to leave town, and this is kind of on a side note, there's going to be a protest on Saturday in Atlanta, Georgia. If you're interested in details, I would look up Defensa Comunitaria on Facebook, and their page has a listing of details on that. But it's to protest the law that was recently passed in Georgia that's kind of like SB 1070 in Arizona that actually forces law enforcement, if they consider someone to possibly not have citizenship, to search them and hold them until they can verify their citizenship. It also criminalizes anyone who gives aid or comfort, like giving a ride to someone who doesn't have citizenship. So it's really nasty. Although a federal judge, I think 2 days ago, knocked down those two elements of it, there are still other elements to the law that I'm not familiar with it's still a racist law, and maybe if some of the teeth were taken out, it still has some fangs left. Okay, so I found the details. There's a call out for today, which by the time this airs, it's probably going to be too late, but, well, I guess not. If you're in Georgia, there's a call to oppose HB 87 for a day without immigrants, saying don't. By not working, by not purchasing, one shows a rejection of discrimination and hate laws, show the power of the dollar. And for more information, you can call 770-457-5253, just so you know. And then on July 2nd, which is tomorrow, at 10 a.m. at the state capitol, downtown Atlanta, on Washington Street. Thousands will march in support of the immigrant community. Join this effort in resistance to HB 87 and other anti-immigrant laws. They're asking that people wear white t-shirts, bring water, and trash bags. And for more information, there's info at www.glahr.org. And you can also call 770-457-5253 for more information, or email info@glahr.org. And the deal with HB 87 basically is much like the law in Arizona. Like I said, there's the transportation or harboring of illegal immigrants is punishable, although that was challenged by a federal judge, as well as the requiring law enforcement to act as immigration enforcement. But it would require employers to verify their newly hired employees as eligible to work in the United States, which they already kind of do use E-Verify, but I guess that's a federal regulation using that system to pass Social Security numbers through and make sure the security numbers work. It would empower people to sue local and state government officials who don't enforce existing state laws aimed at illegal immigration, and penalize people who willfully and fraudulently use fake identification to get a job in Georgia. So it's kind of just using the existing federal laws, but increasing punishment for individuals who don't really have a choice in the matter in order to survive and participate. So, yeah. Hopefully, if you can't make it down to... if you can make it down to Georgia for tomorrow, that's great. If you find Defensa Comunitaria or Nuestro Centro, Nuestrocentro on Facebook for Asheville, you can probably see if they're organizing any rides down there for tomorrow. But if you can't make it, you should definitely come out to the Stonewall events in town.
Again, I welcome you on behalf of the working staff of the Black Cat, the most famous bohemian bar in the world. You know, it's always rather exciting to see the various people that do come down to the Black Cat, because you find wolves in sheep's clothing, shall we say. And of course, I always like to welcome the leather jacket girls, the queens that work so hard during the week, and then on Friday they shed the Ivy League look and put on those gay leather jackets and those chains, and they run up and down Market Street on their Vespas. I think it's just the end. Oh, it's so gay.
The government likes to keep it ignorant so they can separate the masses, keep the people passive. Between your economic classes, taxes on what you buy and what you make now. When you have left after everything, you take away your pride and you can survive with a 9-to-5. Most don't only want to check away from face and do or die, but people try to block it out. Build a tunnel from the home to work and limit them without, and forget what they're without and turn on the TV. Everyday minorities are potential enemies, and if your clothes are worn down, you must be a thief. And God forbid I try to practice my freedom of speech without purchasing a permit. It ensures the police will come knocking and cuffing. No two-way discussion. They're waiting for an activist to act as if they're bluffing. Yeah, they get off on a power trip. They don't prevent a thing. They just wait until somebody slips. Now, it's common sense. Any relationship founded on suspicion township in the abyss. It is the black hole and no hope,
so they can profit on the drugs people take to try to cope.
In a world where folks are raised to hate folks of other races,
folks with different attitudes,
folks in other places, a brace of ad spaces. Got teens looking for somebody to emaciate with. Yes, because it's big industry. Lung cancer and obesity will last the hospital if it's profitable. When Japanese on the islands are cutting the islands, but they tell me that a fashion trend isn't violent. No, please don't try to look like me. They're breaking you down just to see your self-esteem. But there's nothing wrong with you,
even though where you go,
nobody tells you, cause nobody knows. They don't see your type in the videos, TV shows, the movie screens, magazines, but it doesn't mean that I don't exist. So I raise my fist into the air. I'm prepared to tear it down.
Say a few things about like a precursor to Stonewall that doesn't really get bandied around as much as the Stonewall?
Yeah, for sure. So one riot that people might not have heard of that occurred actually 3 years before the Stonewall riots was the Compton Cafeteria Riot, which happened in 1966 in San Francisco. And a number of transgendered folks, drag queens, gender nonconforming people, street hustlers, and other members of the LGBT community were dining at a Compton cafeteria in San Francisco when the owner called the police on them. And the police came and started hassling the queens, and one queen threw her coffee into the face of the police officer, and then all of the other LGBT people started throwing their plates and dishes and lunch trays and all sorts of things at the police. They were rushed outside. The police were trying to arrest them. The owners were trying to shut down the cafeteria. There was general melee. The LGBT folks smashed out all of the windows of the place, and they burned down a newspaper stand that was outside on the first night, and then they came back a second night after the cafeteria had replaced its windows, and they smashed the windows out another time. And this actually gave rise a couple years later to the Transsexual Counseling Unit, the National Transsexual Counseling Unit, or the NTCU, which was the nation's first peer-run support program for transsexuals and other gender non-conforming people.
And then 3 years later, on June 28th, in Greenwich Village in New York City, at a little bar called Stonewall in a working class neighborhood, and a lot of bohemians, I guess, there too. There was a gay and transgender bar that was actually owned by the mafia, and they provided, or they sold the alcohol to the bar. I was just watching a documentary on it, and it was funny. It was like totally profiting. The mafia would steal the alcohol, then water it down, and sell it to the bar. But whatever, and they paid rent to the, and they didn't have a liquor license, and so this is one of the reasons that, and all the laws, like the 1854 masquerade law in New York that said that people couldn't dress in appearances other than their natural appearance and couldn't obscure their visage.
Which the police contended people were doing when they were cross-dressing, and of course we know that many transgendered and transsexual people were not at all masquerading. They weren't hiding their true identities at all. They were showing them, but the police, of course, didn't agree with that.
Yeah. And there were actually laws on the books at the time, too, I guess, in New York, that said that you had to wear three items of clothing that matched with your assigned gender, your birth assigned gender, too. And so,
yeah. So people were hassled a lot under those laws?
Absolutely. So they, the cops ended up deciding to raid the place. They rolled up people inside the bar, flashed the lights, and people got into more, as much as they could, like heteronormative poses and societally approved gender poses of, you know, like not dancing with someone who appears to be the same gender as yourself. And the cops came in and roughed people up. And then what happened?
Well, the police came multiple times on, you know, different nights and different times. This is certainly something that occurred commonly in the queer and trans communities at that time and continues still in different ways and sometimes the same ways. But that night, what happened is the police were pushing a young lady and she said, stop pushing me," and the police continued to push her or pretended to continue to push her. It's a little bit unclear. And she took her shoe off and beat the police officer about the face and head with her shoe. And when the police officer fell to the ground, she took the keys from the police officer and undid her handcuffs, handed the key to someone else, and then disappeared back into the crowd. The crowd at this point...
A general melee
ensued.
Police backup came and started attacking the crowd, and people fought back, and I guess four mm-hmm. cops were injured, and I think 10 right. people were arrested, or a dozen people were arrested.
I think so.
And folks tried to burn down the bar once the cops got into it.
Mm-hmm.
And the fight, like the riots, reignited the mm-hmm. next 2 to 4 nights in that neighborhood, too.
Yes, that's true.
And so at the time, this led directly to the formation of this organization called the Gay Liberation Front, which started initially, I think, in New York, but within a short period of time, 80 other chapters opened up around the country and in a few places around the world.
Yeah, there were some international chapters.
And what was the goal of that group? He asked himself.
That's in your notes.
Yeah, that's in my notes. So it started in 1969 and lasted till 1972 before internal splits broke the group up. But their first action was to organize a candlelit march in New York City demanding an end to persecution of gays, lesbians, transgender folks. They organized against organizations and institutions that historically perpetuated the persecution of homosexual and non-gender conforming folks. They also stood and made statements against American conceptions of normalcy, denounced the nuclear family and the way that sex and body education was taught to kids, and worked alongside of, at times, the Black Panther Party and other organizations and denounced racism, machismo, and sexism in the United States.
And abroad.
And abroad. And so in response to the Stonewall riots, there was a call for a yearly march to remember them, right? Is this in my notes, too, or the...
That's in my notes.
Oh, okay.
Also inspired by the events on Christopher Street during the Stonewall riots were the first gay pride marches. And the first march was proposed at the Eastern Regional Conference of Homophile Organizations in Philadelphia. And at that time, the marches were called to make the LGBT struggles for liberation more relevant and more visible. And the first one happened in New York City.
Yeah, the Christopher Street Liberation Marches, and then spread to different cities around the country. And I guess during the 1980s in various cities, it started to become conservatized, and they started dropping the words liberation and freedom from the marches.
Right, and that's when they started calling it gay pride. Before that, it had been for queer and trans liberation and freedom. And then there was the shift in the 80s to people complaining about that, you know, LGBT people complaining about it and wanting it to be about gay pride and be more friendly to corporations and governments and police and organizations like that.
It was also around this time that the logo for the pride parades or the liberation parades changed from being either the pink star or the pink triangle or the black triangle, pink triangle being what the Nazis gave to homosexuals, and black triangles being what the Nazis gave to lesbians, both as social deviants, in the same way that they gave or forced Jews to wear yellow stars on their jackets during the Holocaust, changed from those symbols and the lambda symbol into the rainbow flag.
Yeah, I'm Jen Rowe. Just going out to all my gay folks. Who are we? I don't know. Yeah, anybody know? But we coming up. We coming up. Yeah. They call me Jen Rowe, known as a lesbian dyke. Yeah, taking the ladies, and rocking the mic. To all my dykes in the house, from left to right. Popping collars, playing girlies, and it's alright. My gay boys making noise, booty hopping the plates. We coming saucy from the vein, ain't no stopping this race. Trans Jesus in the heezy, walking fly some sheezy. Tearing up the whole spot, from your head to your knees. To all my folks representing being gay in the bay. Coming quick from all directions, give a f*** up straight. I put it down for all my drag kings and my queens on the throne. Jen and Labby with the dyke boys, now we got the shit sewn. Dyke bitch straight on the gate, ducking bottles from the straight. Tired of spitting all these rhymes of homophobics and hate. So step upon your misconception of a dyke from the hood. Guess we posted on the corner 18th Collingwood. And if we call Bonnie and Clyde, we do it Bonnie and Bonnie. And from the bay to Japan, swimming money tsunamis. They call me Jen Rowe, known as a lesbian dyke. Known for taking the ladies and rocking the mic. To all my dykes in the house from left to right. Popping collars, playing girlies, and it's alright. My gay boys making noise, booty hopping the place. We coming saucy from the vein, ain't no stopping this race. Trans Jesus in the heezy, walking flies of a sheezy. Tearing up the whole spot from your head to your knees. To all my dykes in the house from left to right. Popping collars, playing girlies, and it's alright. Now can you tell me all the struggles we face? We'll try to hide the sexuality like every day. I learn. In 1969, Stonewall burn. Homophobia is our term. So step up by the struggle, same sex represent. Yeah. We done coming up bubble, yeah, from the skull to the O. 41510 to San Ho. Give it up for the 650. You can't fade gay folks and all the tactics you be lacking. Gotta watch our backings for the gay attackings. And Eminem told a story that it was a fairy tale. You know he kissed three dudes up in a county jail. Homophobic ass, I'm probably gay himself. Yeah, Eminem probably gay himself.
Brownie outside.
Yeah, they call me Jen Rowe, known as a lesbian dyke. Known for taking the ladies and rocking the mic. To all my dykes in the house from left to right. Popping collars, playing girlies, and it's alright. My gay boys making noise, booty hopping the place. We coming saucy from the bane, ain't no stopping this race. Trans Jesus in the heezy, walking flies with the sheezy. Tearing up the whole spot from your head to your knees. Nah, who got the spot hot and wrecking the shop? Cause only calling the block, you know it just don't stop. Who got kicked out by mom and pops? Are those still alive struggling? I'm giving props now. Oh my, can you look me in the eye? Call
call me a dyke bitch, walk away and deny.
Yeah, what's up?
Can't help but save sex attraction. Kiss a girl on the cheek just to see a reaction.
Reaction. Yeah, what you gonna say
just
now?
See your reaction. Come on. They call me Jen Bro, known as a lesbian dyke. Known for taking the ladies and rocking the mic. To all my dykes in the house, from left to right. Popping collars, playing girlies, and it's alright. My gay boys making noise, booty hopping the place. We coming saucy from the vein, ain't no stopping this race. Trans Jesus in the heezy, rocking flies of a sheet. Tearing up the whole spot, from your head to your knees. To all my dykes in the house, from left to right. Popping collars, playing girlies, and it's alright. Yeah, Jen Bro, come on. So, what do they call me? Y'all suckers don't know. Yeah. They call me Jen Bro, known as a lesbian dyke. Known for taking the ladies and rocking the mic. To all my dykes in the house, from left to right. Popping collars, playing girlies, and it's alright. Rocking boys, making noise, booty hopping the place. We coming saucy from the vein, ain't stopping this race. Trans Jesus in the heezy, rocking flies of a sheet. Tearing up the whole spot, from your head to your knees. I'm Jen Bro. Yeah, to all my folks out there, we only coming up. Put your hands up, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, we only coming up, yeah.
My face in various places alone is enough to spark some conversations. Some complications might arise when you don't understand what's in front of your eyes. Try to shove me out and box me in and end up with a butterfly knife under your chin. I'm walking the streets like I own the whole city. In the night I got my homegirls rolling with me, well aware that some don't fight fair. They have sharp razor blades hidden in their hair, and they walk with stilettos with daggers for heels and dildos and holsters of chromium steel and studded dust to whip you into shape. Fishnets to castrate perpetrators of rape. Mess with the crew would leave you confused. Just seal up your lips with some fake eyelash glue. Ready for any fight you could pick with them. They walk around with purses with heavy bricks in them, spitting venom, switchblades with them, giving out free homemade circumcisions. Are you next? Do you want a piece of this? Let me introduce you to my friends. First meet the fist, I'm a feminist first, then a query on second, and I make sure my interests get protected and views projected into the world. To my high class and outcast army of girls, if you're hot on our trail, it's not hard to find us. We always leave traces of a glitter behind us. Chaos and gold, freedom, control. 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 The people when I come through town with an interpretive dancer that follows me around. It's a secret circus, a private committee that decided to bring the jungle into the city with color and fashion, madness and style. In the court of sex appeal, this record is on file, and we all stand on trial in front of a jury of peers. But is your judgment based on desire or fear?
If you want sweat and diamonds, I'll show you where to find them. There's no going back like a busted hymen, like cats that are wild, kept in a cage. You're best to get out of the way of the rampage. We're taking back the night, you can feel it in our cries. We take power from the tears that fall from our eyes. Desperate love flows through my veins, so I feed on hearts to stop the hunger pains.
Brass knuckles are warm, round muscles are torn. The night is gold for spit and glitter. Hoes taking the streets, relentless lover feasts. Heart, heart eats the beast spit.
Control, chaos and gold, freedom, control, chaos and gold, freedom, control.
That's a fact. It's on Wikipedia.
It's true. And it's interesting that with this shift also came the the trend toward excluding gender nonconforming people and transgender people and transsexual people from these sorts of marches, not necessarily officially, but sort of putting them towards the back or discouraging them from coming, or, you know, these other things that have been done, or the more recent firings of transgender people by gay organizations such as the Human Rights Campaign. I think it's good at this time to remember that historically, in the Compton cafeteria riots, for example, according to the internet or Wikipedia, it was the gays who hit the police in the crotch, and it was the gender nonconforming people who had extremely heavy purses who then would whack the police in the face with their purses. So they used to, these two groups are not always separate, and these two groups definitely were getting along and working with each other historically, and today that doesn't seem to be quite as much the case as perhaps it once was.
So it's almost like one group were able to mainstream to a good degree and become like considered socially acceptable in a way that the other still, by challenging gender norms and gender roles more explicitly, is sort of left by the wayside, and as the mainstreaming of the Pride movement or what became the Pride movement furthers on, it just sort of leaves these folks behind in all of their arguments and kind of forces them onto the... Just to restate what you just said.
Sorry. But, no, that's fine.
No, not that I was trying
that really
to.
Piecemeal. Yeah, it seems like sometime in the 80s, gay white men in particular who were cisgendered suddenly remembered that they were cisgendered white men and that they should have more rights. And they should have rights to get married and to be extremely wealthy and to bash trans people, you know, along with straight people, along with everybody else. And it's really unfortunate. I think it really weakens the queer and trans liberation movements to have a bunch of people leaving and to have a bunch of people arguing amongst themselves, really.
Or competing for rights, almost, as if there needs to be some sort of competition.
Right, or as if some people's rights are more important or more pressing than other people's rights. I spoke with someone who is an employee for the Human Rights Campaign who explained to me that, in her opinion, the reason that the HRC fired all of its transgendered and transsexual staff was that transgendered people are inconvenient for the gay rights movement. That, by the way, is not necessarily the official line from the HRC, but from one employee that I met. But I think that that reflects a lot of attitudes currently in especially nonprofit type organizations.
So where else after the gay liberation struggle, what other and Pride, you know, in the mainstreaming of this, what other responses were there?
There were lots of different responses. I think a lot of them probably have been lost to history or are only remembered by certain people. But one of the events that happened after Stonewall was STAR was formed. STAR stands for the STAR Transgender Action Revolution, Street Transgender Action Revolutionaries is what it's for. And that was formed by Marsha P. Johnson and Sylvia Rivera. And Sylvia Rivera was one of the folks who was at the Stonewall riots, actually, and is credited with turning that altercation from a sort of normal roughing up by the police into a full-on riot. It's said that she was the first one to fight back, possibly the young woman who hit the police officer with a shoe, although that's not necessarily substantiated.
The official line.
Correct. And STAR, basically what Marsha and Sylvia did is they actually, with the help of the mafia again, set up a house for transgender and gender nonconforming folks in New York City to live and to work. And Sylvia and Marsha actually went out and worked the streets and made enough money that they could buy food for all of the young girls in their house. And so those girls didn't have to go and work the street at that time.
A number of organizations have come out of the heritage of Stonewall that have been constantly like pushing boundaries. And among these organizations that we don't necessarily have time to talk about in detail here, and I don't necessarily know too much about, include AIDS Coalition to Unleash Power, otherwise known as ACT UP, the Queer Liberation Army, the Lesbian Avengers, the Pink Panthers, Queer Fist, Gay Shame, Bashback. Some of these organizations are still active, from what I understand.
ACT UP is still active. I think Bashback is still active, judging from their website, but I don't know for sure.
So, Parks, would you speak to some of them, kind of still radical, but and maybe nonprofit, but outgrowths of the Compton's riot and the Stonewall riot that exist?
Yes, not all of the groups that have been inspired by Stonewall and the Compton riots and such events are incredibly radical. It's not like groups are either entirely radical or they're entirely assimilationist. There are some groups in the middle, such as the Sylvia Rivera Law Project in New York City, the Ali Forney Center in New York City, and Green Chimneys, and also in New York. There are also groups such as these all around the nation, but those are just three that I know of. Sylvia Rivera Law Project, of course, named after the woman who was involved with STAR, the Street Transgender Action Revolutionaries, as well as the Stonewall Riots. That law project focuses on providing access to healthcare and legal services for low-income trans and queer people and people of color. And the Ali Forney Center and Green Chimneys offer services for homeless, queer, and trans youth. They offer emergency services as well as more long-term housing options. And those are all nonprofit organizations.
So one of the conversations that we were having earlier and that the editors of Against Equality, when they traveled through, were speaking about was that this, like, the sort of, like, split between the mainstreaming movement and the radical direct action and direct care and infrastructure building have sort of, like, are coming to a head yet again, though coming from the same birthplace. So in the form of, for instance, the Human Rights Campaign drawing so much attention and so much funding out of a limited pool of funding for projects into the debate around gay marriage or same-sex marriage. And yet it's not like the money is there and then the money is also there to sustain these projects. It means it's to the detriment of shelters and groups like that. Is that right?
Right. That is right. That's definitely the case in New York City. There is a lot of funding for the HRC and a lot of people put their money into groups like that and focus really heavily on issues of things like gay marriage and leave transgender homelessness completely out with no support at all. So it's not necessarily a question of either or, but of priorities.
Make it longer. So silly drag queen. deliberate is not to act straight.
Come into the light where you can be seen. You've spent years hiding, and I know why. Majority Joe, don't dig it. No, you can't see your side. But gay is nothing but good if it don't kill, steal, or lie. Closet queen, you're all right, you know what I mean. Closet queen, come into the light where you can be seen. Accept what is you and live the way you want to. People created society, but God created you. That closet queen, you're all right, you know what I mean. Closet queen, come into the light where you can be seen. Look at John and Simon, the Lord, they're doing all right. They can live in harmony, they know that love makes might. Judges out there, I say this world's complex. And there are many ways to look at life, as many ways, Lord, as there are. Closet queen, you're all right, you know what I mean. Closet queen, come into the light where you can be seen. You can try to twist what's different from you, and understanding is what you'll undo. Is it the different ways we love that hurts, or the different ways we hate, hate? Tell me. Closet queen, you're all right, you know what I mean. Closet queen, come into the light where you can be seen. If you think you're sick, well now, child, I think you better go and get yourself fixed. If you think you're well, well, well now, what the hell now?
And there are definitely difficult situations that aren't very marketable that need a lot more funding.
I'm pretty happy to live in a city that has a yearly remembrance of the Stonewall riots, because mm-hmm. the significance of that, as opposed to the easily marketable and easily co-opted pride parades, you know, the fact that people remember maybe harsher times, but that the police are used as a normalizing agent within society, and that, like, actively protects the social norms of patriarchy and Christian fundamentalism in this country. And so we can go out and celebrate and remember the fact that people were getting bashed by state authorities and they decided to fight back in this really spectacular way. And people fight back on a daily basis simply by surviving and by taking care of each other.
And in other ways. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, Bruce. I'm happy to live in a city that has commemoration events for Stonewall as well. And I think it's a really good time for all of us to just picture that moment in history in New York when gay people were kicking the genitalia of the police, and as they bent over in pain, the the queens and transgender people were hitting those officers in the face with purses full of remarkably heavy lipstick, possibly shaped like bricks.
This is, yeah, this is a heartwarming tale that we're telling right now. And I think there's lots of room for unity and coalition.
I think that's true.
So, Parks, you're involved in an organization or a group called Transmission Prisoner Project. Is that right? Can you tell us about this?
That's correct. Transmission Prisoner Project is a group in Asheville, and we send books and other resources to queer and trans prisoners around the country. And we also teach workshops here in Asheville. We do a Trans 101, and we also do a prison realities workshop.
And what is it about the situation of queer and trans prisoners that requires a project to specifically focus on their needs?
Queer and trans prisoners have often different needs than other prisoners. Trans prisoners in particular are often put into solitary confinement. They're basically confined to their cells 23 or 24 hours a day. They're separated from the rest of the general population often. Other times they're in with the general population. They're often in the incorrect prison. So a trans woman, for example, might be put into a men's prison. And usually people suffer from more abuse than other prisoners might in those sorts of situations.
And how can we get in touch with, if folks feel like volunteering or donating to the project, mm-hmm. what information's out there and how can they get in touch with the project?
Transmission could always use more help. We definitely need money to send books. We do a mailing every week of books and other resources, as I said. And we have monthly dance parties that can be attended. There's flyers up all over town. You could also email us. Our email is transmissionprisonproject@gmail.com. And transmission is spelled TRANZ mission and then prison project, all one word, @gmail.com.
And regular volunteering, can you talk about the letter writing?
The pen pal project? Oh, yes. Transmission also runs a pen pal project, and pen pals are actually very important for queer and trans prisoners. Often queer and trans prisoners don't have friends or family that they write to on a regular basis, and so people are not writing them back, and this promotes a situation in which guards and other prisoners think that nobody cares for these prisoners and they're able to get away with more abuse. So it actually aids in people's safety as well as in just having a friend to write to folks. And you can get involved with our pen pal project and be a pen pal to someone in prison by writing to us at our email address.
Cool. It sounds like great work. Thank you so much for coming here and being on the show with me.
Of course. Thank you for inviting me, Bursts.
This is The Final Straw, Asheville FM, ashevillefm.org, and have a great day tomorrow. Whether you're in Atlanta or at a Stonewall commemorance rally or if you end up at the dance party, whatever, hope to see you there. Take care.
Got no girl. Yeah. Yeah. Have you ever felt isolated and frustrated inside? I have. I've been shut down by my closest friends and peers. Wicked words from the world, I mean, look at your tears. You see, I've been here all along, but like I'm not really here. In my classroom, disobedient, wish I disappeared. Holding up a middle finger to my math teacher's rear. I was just a little girl, but there was nothing I feared. In seventh grade, I came to class with my stomach full of beer. Band class, they caught me kissing, girl, they calling me queer. Send me to counseling, they talking ghosts through both of my ears. How my stomach turned when my whole eighth grade found out. The principal's office will never figure me out.
I'm sorry, mama, I never meant to hurt you. I never meant to make you cry, but tonight I'm coming out my closet.
One more time.
I said I'm sorry, mama,
never meant to hurt you. I never meant to make you cry, but tonight I'm coming out my closet.
I had some secrets in my diary, hide it from family. Home I wanted to leave, but I was only 13. Me, I kept my mouth silent, but I wanted to scream. Felt like a bird in a cage, I just wanna be free. But just to think of mama's dream of me getting married, a white dress with a husband and kids two or three. How could I tell my old mama that I'm attracted to girls? I'm sweating and pacing, debating, and I'm hating the world. Stomach up in a curl, my backpack weighing me down, along with 20 homophobic lunatics in my town. Chicks with dicks in my town, hey ma, they licking me down. How do I say that I'm gay to you? Will not be so proud. Your little baby's not what you wishing, it's eating me now. I try to calm myself down, in school I just don't know how. Too much to deal with at a young age, getting F's on my test. And Nancy's wondering why little Jenny won't wear a dress.
Sorry mama, I never meant to hurt you. I never meant to make you cry, but tonight I'm coming out my closet.
One more time.
I said I'm sorry, mama. I never meant to hurt you. I never meant to make you cry, but tonight I'm coming out my closet.
Now I would never hurt my mama, I done put her through hell. Since age of 5 I always felt I had to rebel. In the bathroom stalls I wrote on the walls, teachers call home. I say I need some help, I'm hard head like a stone. Beat up the boys on my playground, the rules I would break. Now like coming out would be the right icing on the cake. Coming home past the curfew, no homework, it's too late. I left school for the street with little dirt on my face. Hey ma, I'm back, look at the clock, I know it's past time. But I was breathless after 30 times rehearsing my lines. Speeches like a statue, felt the tears in my eyes. Mama, I promise I wasn't out with the guy. I left campus just to be who I am. I wasn't with Stan, little Dan or a man. I was with Diane, little Jen and Suzanne, Cheyenne and little Lynn and Leanne, Marianne and the sedan with Roseanne. And we were all holding hands. Watch mama's tears like waterfalls drop down like quicksand. Holding her heart, cause she's really hitting the fan. I promise mommy little Jenny's gonna make it somehow. You love me ma, you're the reason why I'm doing this now.
I'm sorry mama, I love you.
You're listening to Asheville Free Media, ashevillefm.org. This is The Final Straw with your host, Bursa Goodness, and the show is underwritten by the worker owners at Firestorm Books and Cafe, 48 Commerce Street, here in Asheville, North Carolina. The Final Straw is also available at KXCF, Marshall, California.
Thank you.
the queen of the little red, white, and blue. She was the queen of the little red, white, and blue. Said, ooh, why, get your spy, boy. Prepare yourself to die, boy. Medicine man got heat, strong power. You know better than to mess with me. Like a robber, la, 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 la. Like a rabble, the lion.